We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers Nation? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Today, we are going to be going over all of the players that have been confirmed to be in for top 30 visits on the defensive side of the ball for the Green Bay Packers. Cannot wait to dig into the scouting reports for all of those players. And yes, there are quite a few of them. So it's going to take a hot second to go through all of those. Before I get there, I know this is airing on a Sunday. I'm recording this Friday night after the Timber Rattlers event. Saturday, I'm going to be out of town for my son's soccer tournament. So doing it a little bit ahead of time. But I just want to start by saying thank you to everyone who came out to the Timber Rattlers event. It was so amazingly fun. Got to meet a bunch of you guys, which was awesome. You guys had so many great questions. Obviously, getting to throw out the first pitch and do the Brotzuka and everything. But the crux of it was the Q&A and getting to meet you guys. And it just blows me away still. Still certainly get imposter syndrome sometimes from being able to do all of this stuff and just really chase my dream and being able to talk about the Packers for a living and to do stuff like that and to see the outpouring of support. It still blows my mind. So I know a lot of other people reached out. I know so many of you are watching from all around the world. This is interesting, by the way. I was looking at the Pack-A-Day podcast metrics on the audio side of things. Our two busiest areas that we actually get traffic from are actually Chicago and Minneapolis, believe it or not. Either we're living rent-free or there's a lot of Packer fans that have moved to Chicago and Minneapolis, probably a little bit of both. But I know there's Packer fans all over the world, all over the globe, different countries. I've been on podcasts and all over the place. And I know the support is everywhere. So, in Appleton, Wisconsin, there's only so many people who can get there, but so many amazing people showed out and just really, really want to thank you for that. I also want to shout out Nick Johnson, Mario Salazar, and Joe Kraft for becoming our brand new Pack-A-Day podcast members. And we have officially reached over 300 now members on this channel, which is also unbelievable. And I cannot thank you guys enough. As I said at the Timber Rattlers event, I literally and figuratively could not be doing this, what I do, covering the team full time without your support. So it means the world to me, and just all of it this weekend has been pretty overwhelming in all the best ways. So thank you all so much. It doesn't have to be financial. It doesn't have to be showing up in person at the Timber Rattler Stadium. Just your eyes and ears every single day. And so many of you showing that side of support, the likes, the comments, the subscribes, all of it. It does really add up and it does mean everything. So thank you to all of you, regardless of how you're supporting the channel. It means the world to me and cannot thank you enough. All right. All of that being said, we've got to get to our top 30 visits on the defensive side of the ball. One thing really quick is we don't have all of the names confirmed quite yet. It hasn't been reported or people haven't found out all 30 of the names. So as I'm recording this, there may be a handful of names that still come out either on the offensive or defensive side of the ball that we just haven't heard about yet. If you're looking for the names on the offensive side of the ball, that was in the Andre Dillard episode on Friday. So you can check that one out and all of the players that they have known to have had brought in for those top 30 visits on offense are in that episode. Today, we're going to be focusing on the defensive side of the ball. If you missed the Friday episode, it means you missed my little bit of a rundown of just why these visits matter. These guys end up being Green Bay Packers quite a bit, and there's some substantial Green Bay Packers on this list, but in 2023, all of these players became Packers at some point. It may have been that they were drafted, undrafted free agents, players claimed off of waivers, guys in for a cup of coffee on the practice squad, players signed to free agent deals later, but all of these players were Packers at one point or another. In 2023, players that were in for a top 30 visit, Dontavian Wicks, Lou Nichols, Ben Sims, Kadeem Telford, Cameron McDonald, and Carl Brooks all were Packers at one point. Six of the 30, so one out of every five that they brought in ended up being a member of the Green Bay Packers at some point. In 2022, Tariq Carpenter, Samori Toure, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Rasheed Walker, Romeo Doubs, Benji Franklin, and Gene DeLance, 8 out of 30, which is an incredible number, eventually became a Packer at one point or another. Somehow, in 2021, not a single one of those players became a Green Bay Packer, which is really crazy. In 2020, Jordan Love and Josiah DeGuara both became Packers. In 2019, Jay Sternberger, now Andre Dillard, Curtis Bolton, Randy Ramsey, Kadar Hallman, and John Levitt all became Packers. And in 2018, Kendall Donerson, Oren Burks, Jamon Moore, MVS, and of course, Tim Boyle. So these top 30 visits under Brian Gutekunst do mean quite a bit. As I mentioned, it could be early draft picks like Jordan Love in the first round, like Devontae Wyatt in the first round, Christian Watson early round two. It could be the Gene DeLances and the Kadeem Telfords where guys they pick up later as undrafted free agents, or Andre Dillard 4 years later or 5 years later, whatever it might be. But a lot of these guys will become Packers more often than not. And we're looking at probably, you know, one out of every five, one out of every four. You know, who knows at this point, but quite a few of these guys could ultimately become Green Bay Packers. And I'd be willing to bet you some of the guys that we're talking about today will be future Green Bay Packers. And in all likelihood, a couple of them at least this upcoming week. All right, let's start with number one on the list on the consensus board of the top 30 visits that they brought in. That is Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner for Alabama. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on McKinstry in the next one, Edrian Cooper, because we have full breakdowns and scouting reports, both from myself and Ross Uglum on these players. So if you want to check those out, go and get a deeper dive. But we'll start with McKinstry nonetheless. 5'11", 199, corner out of Alabama, 7.55 relative athletic score. As far as being a Packers type, he has a slightly lower RAS than what they usually look for, specifically in the first round at an 8.0. It's not going to be a deal breaker. He didn't do the agility testing, so we don't know the three cone and the short shuttle, which they usually value, but still he seems like a pretty good fit, especially schematically for this Packers defense. He's 24th on the consensus big board. In 2023, he had an 88.8 grade from PFF on 848 snaps, and he does have 318 career special team snaps under his belt. His fit in Green Bay would legitimately be a starting outside corner. I believe if they drafted McKinstry, he would move ahead of Carrington Valentine. I believe he would move ahead of Eric Stokes and become the starter opposite Jair Alexander. That would have to be earned. It's not going to just come in overnight and immediately be the starter, but I think he would earn that. I think Carrington Valentine could get some looks inside on passing downs, switching off with Keyshawn Nixon and maybe a little bit of a platoon there. I think Eric Stokes then would become a depth piece and might just have to fight to make the roster at that point. But that's, I think, what would happen if they drafted Kool-Aid McKinstry. From a scout scouting report standpoint, and again, if you want a much deeper dive, those episodes are out there for you. But his ability to play man-to-man, press coverage, off coverage, zone coverage, whatever is needed, specifically man-to-man, though he's fantastic at, but he can do a little bit of everything. He battles everywhere. He makes nothing easy for you. Even if you do beat him, and even if you do get a completion, he's usually going to make you fight tooth and nail for every single catch, for every single yard, and he just contests and battles for everything. He has that beautiful, perfect defensive backs mentality. He's confident. He's not arrogant, but he feels like he's going to be able to match up with anyone, and he's willing to take on any assignment. And if he gets beat, he's not going to let it bother him. He's super calm, confident, and poised. He is ultra poised in phase. Sometimes I would almost argue a little bit too poised. I'd like to see him maybe be a little bit more tenacious at the catch point, but he's not the guy. Like, when we talk about why that's so important, it's because you see the guys that are not poised and what happens? They get grabby, right? They panic and they get grabby and they immediately start like flailing everywhere or tackling the receiver. He's just just completely not fazed by any of it. He's just going to play through it. And then if you're going to go for the ball, he's going to try to knock it away. And you know what? If you catch it, tip your cap, we'll live to see the next down. It's ultimate calm, poised, confident. He has all of that at his disposal. He plays bigger than his height. I was shocked that he wasn't like 6'1". Again, he's only like 5'11", but when you watch him on tape, he plays much bigger than that. He has an extremely high cornerback IQ. He's battle-tested, played against guys like Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Malik Nabers in college. You will look at Adonai Mitchell's tape, and Adonai Mitchell did get the better of him, but he did have some really good matchups in college with some big-time players. He will flash an ultra-aggressive tackling and run defense. So that's a very pleasant side for Green Bay with some of the issues that they've had tackling in the secondary. He also has some punt return ability. As far as the long speed, 4.47 40, he tested great. I think sometimes the play doesn't match up to that 4.47 testing. He feels a smidge slower than that. I would have guessed like a 4.5, 4.55 guy, but I love the fact that at least he has that at his disposal. He's good coming forward, just a little bit getting back. You see, I wish he just had a little bit more of that makeup speed, that 4.3 speed that Eric Stokes has. If he did, he probably would be going earlier in the draft, and Green Bay might not have a shot at him anyway, but it's good enough. I'll put it that way. His tackling is inconsistent. His aggressiveness with his hands will lead to more penalties in the NFL. While he is calm and he is poised, he's also aggressive. He will fight you, and I think that is going to lead to a few more holding and pass interference calls in the NFL than it did in college. I do wonder if he projects as a high-end number one starter. He projects as a starter, and I think even right away. Does he ever get into that top 15, top 20 of corners in the NFL? It's certainly within the realm of possibility, but I have a little bit more of a question there. As I mentioned, Adonai Mitchell ate him up pretty well. He's inconsistent in run defense. He struggles with high-end speed and route running ability. Most college corners do. Will he be able to play on an island in the NFL like he did in college? I think that's going to be a big question for McKinstry. He lacks that slot versatility. I think he's an outside guy only. And only 2 career interceptions in over 2,200 career snaps, or almost 2,200 career snaps. You would have liked to seen a little bit more ball production and the ability to make those big plays in the passing game than what he displayed at Alabama. The expected draft position, if Green Bay were to get him, is somewhere in that 25 to 41 range. It's very possible they could take him in round 1. If they want to take him in early round 2 or late round 1, my guess is they're going to have to either move their 25 pick back a little bit or move their 41 pick up a little bit. I think it's extremely unlikely that he is there at 41. It does sound like there is some buzz that he could go early round 2. So if Green Bay does like McKinstry, and they feel like maybe taking a little bit of a gamble, maybe they move back to 29 or 30, pick up an extra 3rd-round pick or maybe a 4th and a 5th in order to move back to that spot. And in the meantime, still get McKinstry a handful of picks later. So that's where they'd be targeting him if they did want McKinstry at that point in the draft. Next up, Edrian Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M. Just real quick on McKinstry. I will say this, when I first watched his tape, I was like, I'm just not sure. You see him get beat from time to time, but I've learned the more you watch him, the more you really like him. And the reason why is you realize Alabama put him on an island all the time and just trusted him regardless of who he was going against. Go cover that guy one-on-one. That's a really hard thing to do. And he came up with big time plays and pass breakups and battled everything far more often than not. And the more you realize what was asked of him, the more you appreciate his game. All right. Edrian Cooper, Texas A&M linebacker, 6'2", 230 pounds, 9.13 relative athletic score. As far as being a Packers type, the big thing is that they usually like at the linebacker position an 80% broad jump or better. He's at 68.5. It's going to be a deal breaker. Sure won't be, but usually they like a little bit higher. But like I said, everything else is athletic. And what I mentioned in my breakdown of Cooper is the reason you're looking for a 80% broad jump is you're looking for explosive athletes. You're looking for somebody who is going to have that explosive ability in the broad jump, the vertical jump and in the 40-yard dash and things like that. You watch Edgerrin Cooper, he's explosive. You have no concerns about his overall explosiveness and what he can bring to the table, his quick first step and his ability to get in the backfield, all of it. He oozes it on field. So it's not going to be a deal breaker for Green Bay at all. So yes, he's very much a Packers type. He is number 42 on the consensus big board. In 2023, he had a 90.8 grade on 609 snaps. He has 585 career special team snaps. Let me say that one more time. 585 career special team snaps. His fit in Green Bay would be that starting linebacker right next to Quay. And if you remember, when Brian Gutekunst was asked about what type of linebacker he wants next to Quay, it wasn't, we want a big time run defender or we need a better pass defender. It was, hey, we want a guy that can do everything. And if you sort of parse his words and sort of read between the lines, a linebacker that you get out of his description is very much Edgerrin Cooper. Like I said, he would be that starter right next to Quay. Scouting report, and again, if you want a bigger one, both Ross and I have done full big-time breakdowns on Edgerrin Cooper. Ross just this week, so you can check that out. But you see the athleticism and speed. He triggers and is like a missile to the ball carrier. Legit sideline-to-sideline speed is an easy mover, and that overall athleticism just jumps off the tape. Change of direction. Time testing wasn't elite, but he shows the change of direction ability on tape. Hitting and intensity, you see him play with that speed, with that intensity, and he's not afraid to absolutely wallop a player in the open field. He's a really good blitzer and displays that closing speed. And that's something that you really want from a blitzer and or an edge rusher, anyone that's rushing the quarterback, is you want that closing ability. It's great that they're in the vicinity, but if you can't close to the quarterback, you're not going to get them down, especially with the athleticism at quarterback in today's day and age. So he has that. Spying, he spies incredibly well with all that athleticism at his disposal. He can sit back on that second level, wait for them to go, then triggers, explodes, gets from point A to point B in a millisecond, and is really, really good when it comes to spying the quarterback. And then he diagnoses screens so well. Wide receiver screens to the outside, he will recognize. There's a play on tape where he diagnoses a screen before like the offensive linemen even start to pull out, before the quarterback even starts to look in that direction. And then even though he diagnoses it early, he's got two blockers that get out to block him, makes the first one miss, makes the second one miss, and then has a shoestring tackle of the line or of the running back. It's an unbelievable instinctive play, and he really does such a phenomenal job of really identifying those screens, and not only identifying them but breaking them up and, you know, bringing players to the ground with great speed and before they can even really develop. Many of you, like myself, are Wisconsin sports fans. Well, it's not Packer season anymore. There's still some really exciting action coming up in the world of Wisconsin sports. The Bucks are getting ready to kick off their postseason run, which is hopefully a lot more fun than their regular season run. And while the Brewers, meanwhile, are off to a hot start, hopefully they can continue that to start their 2024 campaign. But whether you're a Bucks fan, a Brewers fan, or a fan of any other hockey, baseball, or basketball team right now, there's never been a better time to start playing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your knowledge into serious cash. Right now, you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and MLB entries today. Prize Picks is super simple to play, and I'm able to log in, make my picks, and submit my entry in under 60 seconds. Add in the ease of Apple Pay for quick deposits, easy withdrawals, tons of player selections, and injury insurance, and you can easily see why Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going LeBron James and Steph Curry in their play-in tournaments. I can't wait to see what they do to try to keep their playoff hopes alive. Whatever picks you make, and regardless of who you select, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In coverage, there was a wheel route and a Texas route that he showed that he can stick with, but he didn't do a ton of covering. They use him as a blitzer, as a spy more often than not. I thought he did a little bit more coverage in 2022. He does do a really nice job of reading the quarterback's eyes and getting in passing lanes. He's a very easy drop into coverage and reacts quickly to what's in front of him. The effort is absolutely there. He continued to get better throughout his career. The Alabama game, if you want to go watch that from 2023, was just, it was almost like a highlight film, but it's like every single play. It's unbelievable. They, again, did not ask him to do a ton in coverage. Wrapping up is a bit of an issue. He can get juked out in the open field by shiftier players. His instincts are a little bit hit and miss. You see it in the screen game. You don't always see it in the run game. He will play too fast and too high. He needs to be a little bit more technically sound with the way he plays linebacker. He avoids blocks rather than taking them on, which is a big issue with his game. And then he is light. He will struggle with run defense against bigger NFL offensive linemen, even tight ends, fullbacks. Taking on those guys, shedding them and going making the play is really one of the weak spots that he's just going to have to find a way to improve at, and which is why he's kind of like that Quay Walker style linebacker. His expected draft position is early to middle to even maybe late round two. I think there's a really good chance at 41 or 58 if Green Bay wants to get Edgerrin Cooper. They very much could, and I think he will very much be in the conversation at that point in the draft. All right, next up is edge rusher Marshawn Kneeland out of Western Michigan, 6'3", 267 pounds, a 9.08 relative athletic score. He is very much a Packers type. He's about an inch shorter than what they usually like, but he hits everything else. And once again, I promise you that is not going to be a deterrent for Green Bay. He is 58th on the consensus draft board, although I do believe he's going to go before that. He has 1,602 career snaps. His best season was in 2023 when he had an 89.7 grade on 557 snaps per PFF. He has 191 career special team snaps. His fit would right now be as a, you know, rotational edge rusher and pass rusher, and I think an eventual Preston Smith replacement. There are some similarities to Preston Smith with his game, and I think how you would really look at it is right now you'd have Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, and then Marshawn Kneeland as your edge rushers, with Enagbare coming back from that ACL injury. And then next year, you probably move on from Preston Smith. And at that point, you've got LVN and Gary with Kneeland and Enagbare as your four rushers at that point. But situational player, rotational player to begin with, and somebody that eventually should work his way into the starting lineup. Scouting report, he's a fun edge rusher with some Peyton Turner type similarities. You go back and watch Peyton Turner in college, he's really fun. He's not had a great successful career in New Orleans, not a lot of snaps. I know he's had a lot of injuries, but that was the type of player I saw on tape. I really actually liked Turner a lot coming out of college. Doesn't win enough consistently at this point in his career. You see all the intangibles. You see the size, the weight, the speed, all of the amazing tools that he has in his toolbox from an athletic standpoint. I just wanted to see a little bit more of a pass rush plan. I wanted to see a bit more winning, and he just needs to put together a little bit more of that. But we've seen Green Bay take these type of players and develop their pass rush plan over time. That's been a, you know, exact MO of what Green Bay does with these edge rushers. So he very much fits their type. He's more of a small school prospect. He turns 23 in July. He does show the explosiveness. He does show some bend. He does display power. He's good against the run. He shows a little bit of everything. I do think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be a helpful edge rusher in the NFL. I'm just not sure that the ceiling is quite as high as what I would necessarily be willing to take him in that early round two period, but the traits are really, really good, and you can see why some team is going to see him oozing with potential and hope that he can eventually hit that ceiling in the NFL. Again, he's a developmental edge rusher who can come in and be a situational and rotational player from day one. He was a team captain in college, And that expected draft position, again, is probably that 41 to 58 range, probably on the earlier side of things, if we're being honest. All right, next up is one of my favorite players in this draft. That is defensive lineman Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State. 6'2", 299 pounds, 9.57 relative athletic score. He is a Packers type all the way. He hits everything. He is 69th on the consensus draft board. This is another player that I think is going to go before that. A 77.2 grade on 413 snaps in 2023. Only 56 career special team snaps. That's not that unusual for a defensive lineman. His fit in Green Bay would be starting off as a rotational defensive lineman, but with big time upside. And as Ben Fennell and I talked about yesterday, what you're wondering here is if you take a guy like a Chris Jenkins or a Michael Hall Jr., what does that mean for Devontae Wyatt and specifically picking up his fifth year option next year? That might be a little bit more in question if you draft one of these guys early, but in my opinion, Hall is legit. And I think he's got some Justin Madubuike to him. I think he could come in and be a big time player in the NFL. Really fun prospect. Holds up well at the point of attack, despite being undersized, plays with really good leverage. He, in my opinion, has no idea yet just how good he can be. I think the sky's the limit, and he's just starting to find out some of the superpowers that he has to play with. He's constantly difficult to block. Production was lacking with sacks, but he is so freaking disruptive. Unbelievable lateral agility, able to cover multiple gaps. He is a perfect three technique who should make an immediate impact and, in my opinion, develop into a big-time defensive lineman. Love his game. Yes, you'd like to see him a little bit bigger, a little bit more jacked, holding up at the point of attack a little bit better, but that upside is there all day, and I would be willing to bet on that in every single draft. Like, it's all there, and I think he's going to put it together in the NFL. His current expected draft position is second or third round. If Green Bay wants to take him, I would probably look in that 41 to 58 range. I don't think they're going to probably get him with those later third round picks. Next up, Mason Smith, defensive lineman out of LSU. 6'5", 306. This is one of the rare sort of bigger defensive linemen. And 6'5", 306. 306 is still pretty, I don't want to say light. 306 is big, but at 6'5", it's a little bit more lean. Consider if you were, 306 and you were 6'2", it'd be a little bit different, but still one of the rare bigger big men in this draft along the defensive line. 8.46 relative athletic score. He is a absolute Packers type. He was slightly under their broad jump threshold, but nothing to even really discuss. He is 76th on the consensus big board, had a 65.3 grade on 582 snaps in 2023 per PFF. A lot of that was because he was coming off of a ACL injury and sort of working his way back. I think that's going to get better and as he's more healthy in 2024. Only 81 career special team snaps. The fit is a rotational defensive lineman, and I say a potential Kenny Clark replacement. I don't mean that figuratively in the fact that, yep, you're going to be able to bring him in, sit him behind Kenny Clark for a year, and then in 2025, you've got your next Kenny Clark. No, he's not that type of player. But if you're looking for defenders who can play the run, play on all three downs, and be a little bit of a disruptor and at least be a player that fits in a similar type of mold as Kenny, this is one of the rare players that actually fits that. They're not anywhere like the same players, but you at least get a player that can be and do some of the things that Kenny does along the defensive line. Scouting report, he falls into the category that they just don't make many players like this at 6'5", 306 with his agility and movement skills. It's just rare. And it's just one of those things where when you find guys like this, you have to value them. Even if the tape wasn't exactly what you wanted, you take the time to try to develop those players, because if you can have a 6'5", 306 player who is legitimately able to hold up and becomes that dude, you have a cheat code on that defensive line, because those guys are really, really hard to find. When it's good, it looks really, really good. He's got a long arm to stack and disengage. He has a penetration ability with an arm over move. He looks solid all the way around. Like, when he looks really good, what I mean is here is when he puts everything together, everything comes together and it looks beautiful. But most of it, a lot of the times, looks bad. And what I mean by this is he plays far too high. He's constantly losing the leverage battle. He lacks agility and close to the quarterback in that like sort of closing explosion. He lacks spatial awareness. He gets washed out of far too many plays. He's on the ground far too often, is susceptible to pancakes, has some injury concerns. There is a very high risk with this type of player with some legitimate reward if you can pay off this 6'5", 306 rare movement defensive lineman. I don't necessarily think it's worth the risk in the second round. If this is a player you get in the third round, not a player that I'm still necessarily thrilled by, but I understand the upside to this. There is a little bit of Stephon to it. Tua was just better, but there's a little bit of Stephon to it to his game where, again, Tua was just this rare, big, mammoth, 300-plus pound defensive lineman who just had rare movement abilities, and you just watch him on tape, and you're like, man, just guys don't move like that at his size. He's a little, he's like a B-minus version of that to me. And if you end up getting anything near a Stephon to it, it's a really valuable pick in the second or third round. So second is very rich. Third, not necessarily my cup of tea, but I understand it a lot more at that point in the draft. Next up is another one of my favorite players in this draft. That is edge rusher Austin Booker out of Kansas. This is an interesting one because he is 6'4", 240, which is really the antithesis of what Green Bay likes from their edge rushers. He's got the 6'4". That's really good. 240, especially at 6'4", is extremely on the light side. I'll get to that more in just a moment. 7.02 relative athletic score. He, from a Packers type standpoint, doesn't quite hit the relative athletic score, doesn't hit their weight threshold, doesn't hit their arm length threshold. So he's a not really Packers type defensive player. He's 82 on the consensus draft board, 82.2 grade in 2023 on 482 snaps, only 60 career special team snaps. His fit right now would be a rotational edge rusher and a different flavor of edge rusher than they currently have on the roster. A little bit more speed, a little bit more agile, and I think something that would be a little bit of a change of pace from the Rashawn Garys, the Preston Smiths, and the LVNs that are currently on the roster. Scouting report, 240 pounds with a super weird athletic profile. Although his number one athletic profile comp on relative athletic score on Kent Lee Platy's site is actually Michael Strahan. So that's an interesting one. He plays the game in all the right ways. He flashes more speed and agility than his testing suggests. He flashes more strength and anchor than his weight and his strength would project. He does everything pretty freaking well. He's got a variety of moves and shows he can win with technique, motor, speed, agility, power. I just love this player. I think he has legitimate high-end edge rusher potential. And I think if you're looking to get him, you probably need him in that early round three range. But he is somebody that, just with his technical prowess and how he plays the game, the energy, the technique, the long arm, all of it, I think he's going to win a lot in the NFL. Now, he might not ever be a legitimate number one edge rusher, but I think you're always going to find ways to utilize this player. And when you start getting into the third round, that's a very valuable player to find at that stage of the draft. And I'd be all over Austin Booker, regardless if he hits those perfect Packers thresholds or not, right around that third round. All right, Trevon Wallace, linebacker out of Kentucky, 6'1", 237 pounds, 9.34 relative athletic score. He is completely a Packers type. He's 120 on the consensus big board, 61.1 grade on 668 snaps in 2023, 412 career special team snaps. His fit, I think he comes in and immediately competes with Isaiah McDuffie for that starting linebacker spot. He's fast, quick, sideline to sideline speed, able to get to whatever spot he needs to on the field, shows some ability in man-to-man coverage, will drop into zones very efficiently, identifies targets, easily makes tackles. I think he's a good tackler. He will take on blocks. He doesn't win those battles a lot, but I like the fact that he's willing to do it. Some of those linebackers just dip, dodge, duck, dive, whatever all the five Ds are. They will do that, and he was willing at least to throw his shoulder in there and take on a block when needed. And like I said, the willingness to do so is welcoming. Does feel like a starting caliber linebacker that you could get on the third round. Again, this is another player who I don't know if he's ever going to reach a high-level linebacker play in the NFL, but I think you can find a fringe starter on late day two of the draft at a position of need for Green Bay. There's a ton of value there. 412 career special team snaps, a team captain. And if you're looking to grab him, you're probably looking in the third round. Going to try to go through the rest of these a little bit more speed round since these are a little bit more later picks. Jerrion Jones, corner out of FSU, 5'11", 190 pounds, 9.61 relative athletic score. He does hit the Packers thresholds, but we don't know the three cone because he didn't do the testing there. 137 on the consensus big board, a 90.1 grade by PFF on 453 snaps in 2023, 360 career special team snaps. I think he'd be immediate competition for Keyshawn Nixon in the slot. He's a slot corner who got better as his final season went along. Good route recognition and understanding of route concepts. Tackling needs some cleaning up. He's an aggressive attacking style player, plays with a very confident demeanor. He can get over aggressive at times. Liked his overall ball skills, inconsistent technique and coverage, so he's going to need to clean some of that up, and probably a depth slot piece and a special teams player who will need to continue to really round himself into a viable NFL starter, but the potential is there. You're looking at probably getting him somewhere around the fifth round.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Next up, linebacker Tyron Hopper, linebacker out of Missouri, 6'1", 231, 7.42 relative athletic score. He's a Packers type, except he's slightly under their usual athletic testing thresholds for just overall relative athletic score, but he's really close. 159th on the consensus big board, only a 51.5 grade on 562 snaps in 2023 at Missouri, does have 468 career special team snaps. His fit would be potentially as a number 3 linebacker if they don't draft anyone ahead of him at that spot, with a chance to compete for number 2, but likely a big time special teams player to start off with. Scouting report, he's best as a blitzer or a quarterback spy. He struggles taking on blocks, his poor instincts in both pass defense and run defense, poor change of direction ability. He's impressive in pursuit, with speed to track down from behind, was a team captain. Tackling's been a bit of an issue for him and just does not look natural in man coverage at all. Expected draft position somewhere in that 5th to 7th round range. Next up, defensive lineman Christian Boyd, Northern Iowa. 6'2", 325 pounds, 4.63 relative athletic score. He is not exactly a Packers type. He is well under on the broad jump and a little bit under on what their normal relative athletic score testing is usually like. 160 on the consensus big board, 89.0 defensive grade on 631 snaps in 2023, has 132 career special team snaps. His fit would be as a rotational defensive lineman and a possible TJ Slayton replacement in 2025. He's strong with a low center of gravity, shows the ability to hold up and even split double teams, showed off a ridiculous rip club move in the All-Star practice. It was unbelievable. He rips through the offensive lineman. The offensive lineman starts leaning one way, and then he rips out the Reggie White club and throws the dude out of the club. It was to do a rip, reset, bring your arm back, club, knock to the ground, and go get the tackling. It was unbelievable. At 325, mind you, it was a ridiculous move. Team captain, he's short, not an ideal athlete, and lacks explosive ability. He will get knocked to the ground and needs to improve his anchor and play with better leverage overall. He's about to turn 24, in my opinion, shows limited upside and likely peaks as a back end of the rotation run-stopping defensive tackle, which if you find at the 5th, 6th, 7th round range, not the worst thing in the world, then that's ultimately where I kind of expect him to go. Next up, safety, Ketan Oladapo, Oregon State, 6'2", 216, 8.18 relative athletic score. The usual broad jump for Green Bay is 80% or better. He had a 37th percentile broad jump, well lower than what's normally expected for them. 161 on the consensus big board, 88.3 grade on 789 snaps in 2023, 242 career special team snaps. His fit, he has a chance to compete at starting safety if they don't add anyone else, but ideally he would be more of a depth piece at safety. He's very stiff-hipped. He's a box safety only. He's going to struggle to change direction and keep pace in the open field. Too many missed tackles. Reminds me of a lighter, slower Tariq Carpenter. looks the part of a box safety, as I mentioned. There's things to like on tape, makes you want to take a chance with him. He's a good blitzer. He's a team captain, previously played corner, so he has some of those cornerback skills. He really lacks any type of explosive traits. He will turn 24 this year, and he's going to have to earn his keep on special teams, likely a fifth to seventh round draft pick. Next up was one of my favorite players on these late group of top 30 visits, corner Jaquan Sheppard out of Maryland, 6'1", 199, 4.93 relative athletic score. He didn't do the three cone. He's slightly lower on the 40 time than what Green Bay usually likes, and he has a low relative athletic score, but he's not expected to be a premium player. Like, this is going to be a late seventh round pick or undrafted free agent. He's 343 on the consensus big board, had an 81.0 grade on 660 defensive snaps, and had 408 career special team snaps. The scouting report, he will gamble. He got caught guessing on a couple different occasions and gave up on some really big plays. He just needs to find a way to be a bit more disciplined. I really liked his overall game, plays a lot of man coverage, good size, length, and demeanor. He's active in the run game. He was left on an island a ton. He did give up plenty of big plays, though, while he was left on an island. He battled through everything, got beat up a little bit by Marvin Harrison Jr., but you know that's going to happen. I really like him as a seventh round pick, though. Seventh round undrafted free agent, sign me the heck up. This would be sort of their Carrington Valentine in the seventh round this year, in my opinion. But he's a back of the roster developmental cornerback that fits the scheme very, very well in Green Bay. Like I said, seventh rounder undrafted free agent. Next up, Akeem Dent, safety out of Florida State, 5'11", 203, 8.67 relative athletic score. He hits everything that Green Bay looks for from a trait standpoint. 346 on the consensus big board. 2,330 career defensive snaps in five seasons at FSU. His best season was a 68.8 grade this past year in 2023 on 446 snaps. He has 333 career special team snaps. His fit would be as a training camp safety with an opportunity to try to make the team. He tested extremely well, very easy mover who changes direction with ease. He's an undersized box safety. Everything looks okay. He's an okay tackler. He's okay in coverage. He's okay coming forward. He's okay dropping into zones. It's just meh. It's okay. I was surprised overall with his athleticism and with his high-end athleticism and with all the playing time at FSU that he never really got that much better. He was always just kind of meh. You watch him and you're like, this looks like a player who could play in the NFL, but he always left you wanting for more. He's a seventh round flyer with traits and will need to make his way on special teams to start seventh round to undrafted free agent. And then we get to a player that I fell in love with. Omar Brown, corner slash safety, defensive back out of Nebraska, 6 feet, 205 pounds. I used him as a slot corner this past season. I think that's his ultimate best position. 6.58 relative athletic score. He's a little bit lower on relative athletic score and has a 55% broad jump. Again, they usually look over 80%. 370th on the consensus big board, had an 82.8 grade on 665 snaps with 255 career special team snaps. I would view him as a backup slot corner with some versatility to play safety and probably a special teams guy. I wish he did play a little bit more special teams. That's the one downside here. My scouting report, he plays football the right way. He plays fast, aggressive football. He blows up screens. Blows up runs in the backfield. He had a play where there was a pulling tight end to come and take on the slot corner, and he put down his shoulder and he laid the tight end the heck out. It was awesome. I truly think he can make it as a legitimate starting slot corner in the NFL over time. You have to be a special type of player to survive in the slot in the NFL because you have to play everything. Man coverage, zone coverage, off coverage, press coverage. You have to go against the shaky little 5'8", like jitterbugs. You have to go against the two-way go route runner, you know, extraordinaire guys that can beat you any different direction. You have to go against the Christian Watsons and the guys that can fly down the field. You got to go against tight ends. You got to take on guards that are pulling, tackles that are pulling, fullbacks and tight ends. You got to cover the full range of tight ends. You got to do everything. It's a thankless job, and he has that ability to do a little bit of all of it. He transitions really well out of his breaks. He had 6 picks as a true freshman. Like, he came on the scene and immediately made an impact. He reacts well to everything that happens in front of him. You can tell he cares about the game. Like I said, I wish he had a little bit more of that special teams experience, and he will turn 24 in October. His expected draft position, 7th rounder, undrafted free agent, but really, really like Omar Brown. Hope Green Bay can find a way to get him late in the draft. Next up, Bryce Gallagher, linebacker out of Northwestern. We only got three left, by the way, guys. 6'2", 235, 6.52 relative athletic score. Doesn't hit overall athleticism or broad jump for a Packers type. 414 on the consensus big board, 68.9 grade on 867 defensive snaps in 2023, and 380 career special team snaps. His fit would be as a training camp linebacker trying to make the team. He's very instinctive. He's patient, but not passive, meaning he'll wait for the play to develop, but he's not passive where the point where he's making the play come to him. He's reading everything, and then he's going and trying to make the play. He's extremely assignment sure. He gets out-physicaled far too often. Despite being very sound technically as a tackler, he misses a lot of tackles. He doesn't look natural dropping into coverage. His RAS card is a perfect encapsulation of everything. He's not great at anything. He's not bad at everything. He's just, again, sort of one of these guys, he's fine at most things. 380 special team snaps will be key, and it's going to be difficult for him to be anything other than a big-time special teams player, kind of like your Christian Welch right now. Special teams guy who's an emergency linebacker in a pinch. Expected draft position would be undrafted free agent. All right, second to last one, the penultimate one, in a almost appropriate way, Del Pettis out of Troy. 5'10", 200 pounds, 6.40 relative athletic score. He's below RAS, shorter, and only 55% on the broad jump, so not quite a Packers type in a lot of different ways. 492 on the consensus big board, 73.1 grade on 834 snaps in 2023. He has 3,519 career defensive snaps and 501 career special team snaps. His fit would be as a training camp safety. He's slightly faster and slightly more agile than Benny Sapp, who's currently on the roster. Kind of think of him that way. He plays fast and aggressive. He's another box safety type. The 501 career special team snaps with the right special teams demeanor is what's going to potentially get him a spot in the NFL. He's a little short for the position at 5'10", and that shows up. He's got shorter, small arms, small hands, and that, again, all shows up a little bit on tape. Does a really good job getting back in coverage, doesn't panic, very energetic player. This is going to have to be your Chris Banjo, a guy that makes it a decade in the league based off of playing special teams. Eric Wilson at linebacker, another one of those players. Sort of a Dallin Leavitt, just a guy that might not ever really play a defensive snap, but might just make it as a core special team player for a decade in the league. That's what Del Pettis is going to try to find his way into. He's an undrafted free agent all day, every day, but he will have to earn his keep on special teams. Last but not least, safety Chris Edmonds out of Arizona State, 6'2", 210, 5.62 relative athletic score. He is a lower relative athletic score and well under on the broad jump for a Packers type. He was unranked on the consensus draft board. He was Dane Brugler's 27th graded safety, a 58.2 grade on 678 snaps in 2023. He has 400 career special team snaps. His closest athletic comp, amazingly, is HaHa Clinton Dix. I kind of see him as like a C minus HaHa Clinton Dix. He's got good size, 6'2", 210, rangy, although he's best in the box. 4.46 40 speed shows up. He has overall very good speed, but he's very much lacking in instincts. Doesn't play super physical. Does have 11 career interceptions, which is enticing. I just wanted to see him be a bit more impactful as a player, jump off the tape a little bit more. To me, he screams a practice squad type player, and this is a training camp safety with some developmental traits. You bring him in, doesn't make the 53. You add him to the 16-man practice squad and see if he develops over time. His expected draft position is as an undrafted free agent. All right, so that is going to do it for me. A lot of guys that we broke down today. Again, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Edgerrin Cooper, Marshawn Kneeland, Michael Hall Jr., Mason Smith, Austin Booker, Trevin Wallace, Jerrion Jones, Tyron Hopper, Christian Boyd, Ketan Oladapo, Jaquan Shepherd, Akeem Dent, Omar Brown, Bryce Gallagher, Del Pettis, and Chris Edmonds. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I did going over all those players. A few guys I really liked. Omar Brown, really keeping my eye on him. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Pallotta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, and Alex Huang. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.